Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Indianapolis, the Indiana Convention Center. That's kind of like the Radio Row, I guess. We're on the other side of the curtain.
We're where the big ballers are.
A lot of people here. A lot of people here. We're here. We're here for the
rest
of the
day. Mike. He says he's happy to be here right now. I don't know. We played a rant earlier in the show.
It was just a bit. I was trying to make Peter feel better than
he
was.
You are not a comedian. You don't have bits, okay?
I was trying to make... Just shut up. I'll give you a bit right here. You want a bit? I got a bit for you. I was trying to make Peter feel better that he wasn't coming. Although Peter didn't want to come at all. Peter had no desire. Peter picked retirement this week.
Yeah. He said the hell with
all
that.
He does not want to come here.
Right.
And really, I mean, if you're not going to... Because what he does, one of the things I learned from him, you know, he'll come to events like this and he will bank information and analysis that he can use...
Of course.
...in the future.
Yes.
And he uses it all season long. So if you're not going to be here in the season, you don't need to bank the information.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he takes that whole month. Training camp tour, an entire month of his life, he's on the road. You've been with him.
Listen, I'm big into that. This is a Super Bowl this time of the year right here, what we're doing. That's why hotel's important to me sometimes. I want to be in the hotel where all the big ballers are, the people, because I get... information, little gleams, and things like this, where you start to go,
You just go up and harass them physically until they tell you something.
Well,
so you'll leave them alone.
Well, it gives you
a good technique.
It gives you like some inklings, like you said. Like we have a topic that'll come up late in March, and I'm going to go, you know, I talked to that coach, and he kind of talked about this a little, and I'll feel like,
hey, we're going to get some inklings here soon.
We got some inklings.
You
got to
blow the horn. Here he comes. Head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, walking on live. This is live, so you can't say shit or piss or hell or damn. We can.
You're allowed to say whatever. It doesn't matter.
Good to see you.
We're on app now. I mean, so, you know, we're Peacock. You could say whatever you want, really.
You always have the best gear, though. Look, you got the... Without the collars, it's like the gray Vikings. Always have the great hoodie that they don't sell. Yeah. Like, I'm always looking to buy the hoodie
what
that Coach wears during the game.
What he's saying is probably going to get me in trouble in some capacity for wearing something I'm not supposed to wear, so thank you for that.
No. How are you?
Doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
We're great, man. Are you a swearer? Are you a cusser? Do you let Kirk and company have it every now and then?
I pick my spots. Yeah. I try not to be. I mean, to me, if you need that to get your point across, there's a time and a place.
Well, you're in
the
wrong place because we use it to make our points all the time.
You have a good way of looking at people, though. You have a good look where you're like, why the hell did you do that? Like, well, you have that. You have
the
that.
Best way to get that look is to see it many, many, many times. And I didn't always have to look in the mirror to see that look because a lot of the coaches I had gave me that look, so I can tell you I know exactly what look you're talking about.
Okay, all right, good. You said one last thing before he asks you serious questions.
I'm going to ask you serious questions.
Do you know what's happened to this guy this year?
right?
This was Kirk Cousins, I love him not. And now it's, I love him so much, give him the keys to the organization and give him $100 million guaranteed.
I never said
that.
I
mean, he turned the page here. It's incredible.
You know what?
It's your fault.
Well, I feel like
you know why it's your fault? Because last year you told us he's going to be so much better this year because of the first time in 7 years he's got the same person in his ear. And he was. That game against the 49ers.
Yep.
Which I thought there's no chance. It's the 49ers. It was the best game of his career.
And then he follows it up going
six
to Lambeau.
Days later.
And,
yeah.
That was probably, you know, I've been through some injuries at the quarterback position coaching in this league. And, you know, shoot, I was on the sidelines as a backup quarterback when Tom Brady tore his ACL in the opener against Kansas City my rookie year. But that was probably, you know, right along Alex Smith's injury in Washington. I mean, as impactful as any on me, just because you're – no, you're in it. You're in the fight with a guy every single day. You're watching him do everything he can, really maximizing his opportunity. And just started off 0-3. We literally, I remember the Monday after the Charger game at home, we go 0-3. And I talked to our team about, you know, the opportunity to deal with this adversity the right way. And we were holding the pen, writing our story that, the first chapter didn't go the way we wanted, but this, you know, and I have the confidence that we're going to get to where we're going. And I said, because of guys like Kirk and how they work and what we're going to be as a finished product this year, when that happened, it just, you know, it took the wind out of your sails a little bit. Because not only just for our team and how much Kirk meant to our team, you know, for the 2023 season and where he had gotten to, but also just for Kirk himself, because I know how much confidence he has in himself. You know, he's going into free agency, you know, guy's not afraid to bet on himself. A lot of respect for a guy in this day and age still willing to do that and to have that happen to him. I can tell you it's been awesome seeing his recovery and his rehab. I know everybody got to see the video recently he put out there, but we've been getting to see, you know, in-house with our trainers and some of the folks he works with that Kirk's in a great spot, and that's not a surprise to me the way he attacks things on a daily basis.
But with him betting on himself, I mean, there's a chance he's going to find a jackpot somewhere else.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime free agency is involved, you know, we can have plans, and Kirk knows, you know, how I personally feel about him. He knows how our organization feels about him. I believe Kirk wants to be a Minnesota Viking. I do believe that. I've had some great dialogue with him pretty much weekly throughout the offseason, you know, leading into kind of as we step foot in Indy for the combine. But there's a process, Mike, you know, that's got to play out. And I think if for us to, you know, be able to get to the place where we can come to an agreement and have Kirk Cousins as our quarterback moving forward, which is what, you know, I would love to see happen, we're going to have to find that space, that common ground. But ultimately, knowing both parties want the same outcome, I do believe, I feel strongly we're going to be able to get something done.
If I may be reading between the lines here, and I may be completely off base. It happens all the time. I almost feel like he needs to, and you need him to, see what else might be out there before he can make his decision to stick around.
I don't know. Needs probably the wrong word. I just think it's the opportunity. This isn't his first time betting on himself and, you know, entering free agency. And I think he's earned that right. And like I said, in this day and age, and, you know, a lot of the questions we're asking guys at this very combine when we get them in informal interviews revolve around handling adversity. Having the courage to bet on yourself in a lot of ways is something you're just not seeing that much anymore. Guys being willing to overcome adverse situations, fight like crazy to still be successful where their feet are planted. I do believe that you know, Kirk knows how we feel about him, and I think at this point he's earned the right for what's going to transpire over these next few days and weeks. But my confidence is still strong that we're going to have an opportunity for Kirk to be a Minnesota.
So 100% unequivocally, you want him back.
I do want him back. Yes.
There it is. Boom. You got him. Put all the flower petals back on. You love him.
No.
Here we go.
He's not back yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
It's encouraging to know, because I do remember sitting in this very spot.
Right?
Maybe right in between you guys.
Well, it was right after you had thrown 5 yards short of the sticks on 4th-and-3 when Justin Jefferson was technically open down the field. That's why.
He just wanted him to throw it to Justin. He just wants him to throw it up.
Maybe the safety was flat-footed.
Maybe he needed the look a couple times.
Maybe he needed Dexter Lawrence on his ass a little bit.
That's a whole different story right there. Nobody ever needs Dexter Lawrence
around you too closely.
I see Rick Spielman sitting over there. He is very well known for the quote from 11 years ago, "We have no intent to trade Percy Harvin." Can you tell me you have no intent to trade Justin Jefferson?
I can tell you we have no intent to trade Justin Jefferson.
You're going to dissect that comment,
Justin,
just so you know.
Well, there's really nothing. Let me dissect it for
you.
Yeah,
I love it.
You know, we have had zero discussions, dialogue about that, you know, either internally, externally, on this planet or another planet. I feel very strongly that Justin is a guy best at his position in football. Anytime you're trying to negotiate a contract to make a guy to really reset the receiver market, you know, which, you know, we know who he is. We know what Justin's earned through his, you know, first 4 years in this league. Anytime you're trying to, Mike, you know how hard it is.
Yeah.
2 years early to negotiate a deal with the type of player and the confidence Justin has in himself. It was never going to be something that would just be easy to get done, but the intent was there. The intent is still stronger than ever to get something done with Justin, and I look forward to the time we get to do that because I don't like the idea of looking down at a call sheet. Those words and letters, they don't look as good to me when I know that number 18 is not attached.
I hear that.
And you got to experience that this year too.
I did. And I think the adversity we went through, you know, I know what, you know, as a young coach, you know, win 13 games our first year, win a lot of close games. To deal with the adversity that we did this year, I think it's only going to make us better as an organization. Now we've got to build our football team not only for 2024, but have a mindset on sustaining into the future. But we can really take some things from this past season.
Definitely.
And apply it moving forward.
He thought you guys were better last year than the year before.
I can just tell you that we know some. We've learned some hard lessons.
Right.
We learn you lose football games by turning the football over.
You had fumbleitis early in the year.
We learned that we can overcome adversity, like an 0-3 start, get back to .500, playing some really good football teams, you know, really 5 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then right about the time you feel like you've attained what your short-term goal was, you got to be ready for another, you know, right hook standing in the middle of the ring, and you got to respond to that. And that word just continues to resonate. And what we're doing right now through this offseason and building into the future, it's all part of, you know, a collective goal of making sure we sustain as an organization and feel very strongly about what we have in place from a leadership standpoint and also the roster that we not only have coming back but that we can build throughout the process of these next few months.
Any overall lesson you had to learn with dealing with four quarterbacks this year? Was there something that, you know, a bright light popped on where you're like, ooh, this is interesting, or I won't do this again, or whatever?
Yeah, I just think anytime you try to figure out exactly what your identity is, either as an offense or a play caller, you better be willing to adapt. You better be willing to completely, you know, kind of submerge yourself in a process to do what the guy under center does well and do whatever that guy needs you to do for them to have success. And that's not only the quarterback position. You hear coaches probably say it time and time again at these podiums this week. We're trying to build systems that fit our personnel and what they do best.
Right.
Because and I think that can be an evolving thing. I hope it doesn't have to be an evolving week-to-week, quarter-to-quarter thing.
I hear you there.
But year-to-year, no doubt, because that's our jobs as coaches.
How do you size up QBs, you know, like when you meet them in these draft process here, you know? I mean, I feel like there's stuff to glean about the attitude, the presence of a guy. I mean, where does your mind go?
You know what it's like when you get a guy talking football. And,
right.
You know, they're almost jumping out of their chair explaining a protection or, you know, hey, you pop on a play from this game and, you know, they see a still shot of it, 33-yard line, second quarter, second and 7.
And they know what play is
going. And they know exactly what the play is, and they can start what it felt like, what was going through their mind, what they saw, you know, the little things that maybe even evaluating and watching that tape 10 times, they might add something to it.
Right.
It's a really cool time of the year, and I think these guys, there's some really
so that resonates
talented
with
players,
you, that energy
also,
they have when they're explaining ball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because ultimately, what I want, you know, not just the quarterback position, guys that love football, guys that are tough, smart, accountable to their teammates. The talent level, obviously, you know, needs to be there. But you want guys that you're eventually going to probably be dealing with some adversity right alongside.
Right.
And you know that they're going to be doing it the right way. And you'll have that much more of a chance to overcome it if you got the right kind of guys.
Right. I got one more for him if you want.
I got one. Go ahead. I'm thinking through how to word it.
All right.
I got one shot.
I have this year, again, he would tell you, I've put you in the Chris Sims pantheon for what it's worth of definitely one of the best offensive minds in football now.
Thank you.
Hands down. And, like, the phrase I use sometimes is, like, simplistically creative.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it or what I'm trying to say here more than, like, how do you go about exposing teams' rules? Are you a stealer of plays? I think about the 49ers game, right? I know you know what dagger is. Like, one guy runs straight and the other guy runs the in cut.
Yep.
The 49ers play that cover three a lot.
Yep.
You sent, like, two guys towards the post and then one guy, like, it was the same play, but a different version of it.
Yeah.
So I guess is what I'm just – how do you come about with these ideas and things you do to expose defenses?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, understanding the principles of what's being coached on the other side.
The rules of the defense.
The rules of the defense and understanding kind of how all 11 on both sides
can
– everybody's got a job to do. Everybody's got keys. Everybody's got playbook rules and responsibilities. And – a lot of times, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to manipulate.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's run pass for second level defenders. Sometimes it's coverage responsibilities. Hey, this guy's responsible for a deep third or quarter or a half. Or this guy, you know, has a B gap fit in the run game, basically the B gap between the guard and the tackle. But he's also responsible to defend that 12 yard in cut. How do we put him in a bind in real time? You know, at a world class level where it's happening in rhythm, on time,
right?
And we make things easy and digestible for our players.
Right.
So that's where
it
you
seems
see
it. Yeah.
Doing a lot of the similar things and principles, but just figuring out the best way to do it so that Justin and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson and Kirk can have that kind of rapport.
Right.
That you might only get one chance to practice it.
Yeah.
You might be building upon a play that they ran 8 to 10 weeks ago, and hey, guys, remember this. This is that, but here's why it's
just
different.
A little tweak.
And here's,
yeah,
like, the why, I think, is the empowering thing as a coach.
Right.
Like, it does no good for me to know what we're trying to do and why we're doing it.
Right.
If when the ball gets kicked off, those 11 guys go out there, they've got to know. And that's what I love about this job. I love teaching that confined time. You know, you better get it done right now. Be at your best for these guys because they come to expect it each and every week. It's what I love about this job.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I had that one more question. I'm going to put a pin in it. I want to word it just right. Thank you so much. Great seeing you.
I knew if I went long on that answer, man.
Hey, way to go. Way to fill a buzzer.
Took up the rest of the time. Ran out the clock. Thank you so much.
I got so much love for you guys.
We appreciate you so much, and we wish you all the best. We know it's a crazy time, and we hope that it all works out.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks, man. You're the
man. In comes. Out goes Kevin O'Connell.
Good luck.
In comes the two-time defending. Maybe we'll introduce him as the two-time defending Super Bowl champion one of these years.
Look at this. These guys, they played each other this year.
Andy Reid and Kevin O'Connell saying hello to each other. Coach Reid's about to join us.
Big Red.
He's thanks again, here. Coach. And hello,
hey,
Coach.
Hey,
here he is.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it, man.
You are the man.
Size 10. He's,
every time he shakes my hand,
he knows
he's a quarterback evaluator.
That's mine. Bigger than you thought.
Shake him again.
Bigger than you thought.
It's probably about a 9.
Yeah.
There we go.
Say you have a 9.
Okay, I'll take a 9. Yeah. I'll take a 9.
Go
Coach
ahead, you
Reid.
Got, you got it in there?
Yeah.
We're just doing
you're
the
good. Go ahead. Just microphone. We don't got to hook you up or anything.
I feel like I'm singing the national anthem.
You go ahead if you got it in
right.
You.
No, I don't have it in me.
There's so much I want to talk about. First off, congrats. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I guess where I want to start as a basic fan, I never saw anything like you guys did this year. And I just would love to hear your thoughts of it. I think you'd agree you didn't play your best football through 18 weeks.
Yeah.
And then coaches are always like, you know, you just can't flip a switch and then become a good team. And it feels like you guys kind of flipped a switch and then we're like, we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I would tell you, Antonio helped us with that at the Raiders.
He
kicked our tail and that helped us. Kind of refocus there, I think. But offensively, we had ups and downs, too many drops, too many penalties. And I figured if we straightened that out, we'd be okay. And when we did, good things happened. That's probably simplified, but that really what it was. And the defense allowed us to do that.
Right.
And then the other part of it was finding that guy opposite Kels that – could kind of compliment it him. And so all of a sudden it brings your target back inside those numbers and you guys can work. We always had that, whether it was Sammy, whether it was Juju last year.
Yeah, right.
And so with Rasheed getting better every week, it was just a matter of time. And so when he kind of had it, then we became better there too. So, defense is the thing that kept us in everything.
Wiggle room to adjust.
They gave the offense an opportunity to grow.
Ever, though? Have you ever had a team that kind of turned the corner like that at that time of the year that's even comparable to that? Am I missing one?
That's why I picked that Raider game, because that was kind of the thing that did it.
Right.
And it was a pretty drastic move. I mean, just from the mindset.
And, right.
I would say that's kind of the unique part about this team. I always felt like whatever they wanted to do, they could do. Mm. It was just a matter of getting themselves in that mindset to do. So.
Right. You mentioned the defense. Why is it that Steve Spagnuolo's name never comes up as a serious candidate to get another shot to be a head coach?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that. I haven't been good at predicting things like that. So I went through that with Eric and Spags. Spags had an opportunity to do it. And every situation is a little different. You know, you don't know exactly what is going to happen once you're in an organization. So I would tell you, he surely deserves another shot at it. You can see how he's taken these young guys and taught them. That's a big thing as a head coach on being right. able to take these guys in through that maturation process and still have them believe in you. And he's got the veterans, Chris Jones, who believes in him. He's got the young guys, McDuffie, who believe in him. He's got the whole gamut there.
Right.
Trust him and believe in him. And last year we saw we were growing defensively. It was a little bit like the offense this year. We were growing defensively, and the offense was doing well. And Spags just kept teaching and kept teaching and teaching. And then we got in the playoffs, and good things happened. The defense, we started playing better on defense.
With Patrick Mahomes, at what point did you realize that this isn't just like a good quarterback, that this guy is one of the best that's ever put his hand on a football?
Yeah, well, when I watched him in college, I felt that way. Brett Veach actually was the one who kind of did that whole thing. He brought him to Doris and I after his first game, and he goes, "You got to check this guy out. This guy's unbelievable." I'm not sure as much after that. He goes, "This might be the greatest quarterback I've ever seen."
Yeah. Certainly. Showed you one of my tweets, I believe, too, right? Or something
like
that.
Right. Beach, that's right.
He gives me a little claim to fame there.
That's right.
Right.
And so, you didn't have to watch much to say if he's wired right now. I didn't know how what kind of guy he was at that time. But I'd heard good things. And once we met him, I go, slam dunk.
Yeah, right.
This is easy.
Right.
How'd you keep it quiet? I mean, because he shouldn't have been the 10th pick.
Yeah. I mean, Doris and Veach, that's their deal. They kept that on the hush.
Yeah.
And that was important. You know, Doris had gone through that with Brett Favre, that whole experience. And then, Brett was great with it. Just, we don't want to talk too much. So,
right.
Yeah.
Is Mahomes
so,
Michael Jordan?
Well, yeah.
Is he Michael Jordan?
Well, he is Michael Jordan. I'll say it for you.
Yeah, it's a different sport. But
who are you? That's what I want to know. Who are you? If he's Michael Jordan, who are you?
I'm Andy, man.
You're
I'm
Andy? Just,
yeah,
you're I'm Big Andy. Red?
I'm Andy. Yeah, I do my...
You're Red Orbach?
Yeah,
maybe that's who you are, Red Orbach.
Yeah, Arbach.
Arbach, you're
there
right.
There you go. All right, man.
One of the things I'm amazed by you and your team is your ability to handle, I don't want to say distractions, but the circus of being a great football team. You had the ultimate circus this year. Coaches, I grew up in Phil Simms and Bill Barr. Oh, distractions, don't do this. You had a deal with damn the Swifties this year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, was there, tell us about that. Was there ever a moment during the year where you were like, whoa, tell your wife in secret, like, I don't know, this might be too much for us.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that that ever came about?
Normally it's you guys, man. It's normally the quarterbacks are for it.
Right.
Listen, I really didn't worry about it. I knew her dad and her mom and good, solid people. And I had met her when she was young.
Yeah.
And she's so grounded for who she is.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned somewhere that since the queen has passed away, she might be the most famous woman in the world.
I don't disagree with you. You're right.
And so, but she handles it. I think it's a great escape for her where she can come in and she sincerely enjoys the games.
Yeah.
And kind of behind the scenes, she you know, to fit in. I she didn't even know she was doing this, I don't think. But, you know, she likes to cook, so she made the offensive linemen these homemade Pop-Tarts.
Oh.
Wow.
So it was over.
What? Right, Taylor Swift homemade Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, so it was over. She knew right where to go.
The right to go.
Yeah. Did you get one? Did you get the rest of the
it's
team?
Over.
Right. Did they
it's
give you one?
You know, she didn't give me one. I'm like,
damn.
And the offensive lineman definitely didn't give me one.
Yeah, right. So, all right. Well, they get into the offensive line. That gets to Mahomes' heart. And that's. But at any point in the year where you're like, wow, I can't get over, was it shocking to see the constant talk of it, or did you just kind of like, whatever, we can handle it?
It was never
and go
an issue.
On.
Honestly, Travis handled it great. She handled it great, and it was never an issue.
Yeah, you know? that's a credit to you, Andy. Yeah. It really is.
The overtime in the Super Bowl. I mean, it has provided so much fodder for conversation and analysis. We all knew what the rule was. We just hadn't had it applied, and nobody really thought about it. When you heard they wanted the ball, we saw Patrick's eyes. He tried to keep his poker face. We saw his eyes bulge a little bit. What was your reaction when you heard they wanted the ball after they won the toss?
Yeah, listen, I mean, we thought it was the right thing to do to take the ball. I mentioned this after the game. I mean, you probably could have gone either way with it. Mm-hmm. I understood why they did it. I mean, I got it. But we, you know, Mike Frazier, I got to give him some props here because he's the one who every week gives our players certain things that we need to make sure we get done on that type of thing. So the last 3 weeks, he's been hammering that home about the overtime rule. And so, you know, you could ask our equipment man, and he would have said, don't take the ball. So that's how it was.
Yeah.
But that situation with their stats and their offense, against our defense, you know, you probably could flip a coin on that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It really is.
Got one more for you. Our colleague Peter King's retiring.
Yeah.
And you and he have been very close, and you've been great by giving him access with the corn dog and the explanation and the Tom and Jerry. Give us your best Peter King story.
Oh, geez. I made him come. I've never put a media folk in the huddle.
Yeah.
So I brought him out on the field.
Okay.
And put him as close to that huddle as I could get him.
Right.
And his eyes were the size of golf balls. I mean, he was just going, oh my gosh. And he could hear all the verbiage. And so I said, this is your retirement present right here.
You know? There you go.
He and I have been doing it so long, and we meet in my cubicle at training camp every year for a half hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. And, you know, I say, look at us. I mean, we're old dudes, and here we're sitting in here in a cinder block room like we were 20. Man,
right.
Know? So it was we've done that how many ever years. But I'm honored to call him a friend, and he's a heck of a reporter, writer, gentleman, that whole deal. He's got a unique look on life.
Yeah.
I tell him he looks at it through red hair.
That's right. Well, we appreciate you
very
much.
Don't you be retiring like him, all right? We don't want to hear any of that crap, Andy, all right? You hang in there.
Only my wife would let me.
All
that's
right, good.
All right, there he is, two-time defending Super Bowl champion Andy Reid. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, Mike.
And in comes somebody that knows Coach Reid very well.
Disciple.
And who Coach Reid knows very well.
Man,
Doug Peterson. Head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a Super Bowl winner in his own right with the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2017. Coach Peterson, how are you? Welcome back.
Great. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'd say it's a – what's it like, you know, kind of going in here year two or year three offseason for you, right?
It goes fast. You know, obviously some things never change.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's excitement in the air, obviously, because to me this kind of kicks off the season.
Yeah,
right? This kind of gets things going.
Right.
So that's the excitement I think all the clubs have.
Yeah, last year you had the we exceeded expectations when we were sitting here, right? This year it's a different feeling, right, for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I mean, kind of explain to us at least a little bit the year, how it went.
Well, and the expectations were still there.
Yeah, they were,
especially when we were 8-3. You know, and the conversation around us was, you know, one of the top teams in the AFC.
Number one seed.
And that's something that I think as an organization we got to embrace more of.
Yeah.
And really understand what that means. I think we got to continue to learn how to win in Jacksonville, and our guys are we got the right guys. We got the right quarterback. We got the right leaders on that team. And it's just a matter of just each year you just fill in some pieces and continue to work. But, you know, the end of our season was not the expectation we wanted.
Yep.
And, you know, for whatever reason, we got to learn from it and move on.
When you say, like, learn to win and stuff like that, you know, like, we kind of brought it up when you played the 49ers, right? That was almost like, I think you guys came off the bye week, or maybe they came off the
bye
week.
Both of us
did. Both of you did, right?
Both of us did.
And I thought, well, maybe this will be a good experience for the Jags to kind of see what a, you know, Super Bowl caliber team, the intensity. You know, I guess elaborate on what you mean by learn how to win and do that.
Well, I think if you look at it, and that's a good game to look at, because – you know, we're both coming off the bye.
Yep.
They had just had a three-game losing streak, and we'd won some games in there, I think five in a row potentially, before the bye. And that's where you got to start making your push. And I saw it with their team. I saw it with our team. It's not that we didn't want to win, or, you know, wanted to go play hard and play physical. You just saw a different level.
You realize they were like, hey.
That they were yeah, there. They were consistently one of the teams in the NFC, and that's where I want our team to get to. And I think that's part of the winning culture. And granted, we've done some great things in 2 years, and we've turned some things around down there, but obviously not where we want to be, not where I want to be. And but that's a good game to really focus on and say, hey, we play better in that game. You know, maybe you got a shot down the stretch.
Yeah.
And listen, we played Cincinnati tough on Monday night. We played Baltimore tough until the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, we were right there with Cleveland at the end, you know, and the turnovers and different things. So we're close, but close doesn't get you much.
Yeah.
When did you, after the 8-3 start, when was the moment, if there was one, that you realized this thing is going to go sideways on us?
I honestly don't think I ever had that feeling, you know. The guys, you know, the guys were still in the moment. They were still present. You know, practices were good, you know, and sharp. I just think there's a belief, there's a trust, there's a want to and a desire, you know, to go out and continue to win and to play great. And you know, yeah, we had injuries late in the season, but so did every other team. You know, we turned the ball over, and maybe we turned it over more than others, but we got to make sure we don't do that. And, you know, the rest of our season was like, hey, if you win this game, you're in the postseason.
Yeah,
if you win two out of the next four, you're in the postseason. So we never felt like we were ever out of it.
Yeah, got you. When you look at the AFC right now, you being an ex-quarterback, right? Are you amazed right now about the quarterbacks you're dealing with, right? I mean, am I crazy to think it's as rich and as good as we've ever seen?
I mean, I just look at our division.
That's kind of where I was going.
And you look at C.J. Stroud, you got Anthony Richardson coming back.
Jeez.
Will Levis, you know, had a lot of playing time this year, and see where his career goes. Then Trevor Lawrence, that's just our division. And then you look at the AFC, you're always going to deal with Pat Mahomes, right? I mean, that's the team. You know, you got to beat, right, in the AFC. And you look at Lamar Jackson, and you look at the Chargers. I mean, you just keep going down the list. And it's exciting for our sport. It's exciting for the league. But it's tough for AFC AFC foes to play these guys every week.
Sledded. All right, so how about your own quarterback, right? This year, it wasn't a regression. He dealt with injuries, maybe didn't play as good as he wanted to, right? But what did you take away from it through Trevor, what he got better at, maybe what he needs to, you know, work on a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a step in the right direction for Trevor. The injuries are obviously a part of the game, and he played through his share of injuries.
Right.
I think the biggest thing that we've got to really focus on is the giveaways, you know, making sure that we take care of the football. Because, listen, he's got it in him.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. It's the guy that, you know, we're going to put the ball in his hands every single Sunday and let him go win the game. He's capable of doing that. And that's what we're excited about, Trevor. And I do believe there's still a lot of room to grow with him, taking his game, you know, again, you know, watching what Pat Mahomes does in between series on the sideline, and how he interacts with his team, and how, you know, it's those things like there that taking that step in that direction and being that leader, all those things that Trevor possesses. You saw it in college at Clemson, and we saw it last year, first year, and or 2 years ago, and then even last year. So keeping him going in that direction, easier said than done.
Yeah.
Give me a specific on how you go about coaching a guy away from turnovers.
I think it's got to be a constant communication. I think you got to show him why he turned the ball over. Was it a decision that he made? Was it an accurate throw, inaccurate throw? Was he careless in the pocket? Was he loose with the football? I think all those things play into being able to take care of the ball better, right? And then just continuing to talk to him. It's okay to throw the ball away. It's okay to slide. It's okay to punt the football from time to time. But those are all ways that we can continue to help him grow in that area.
You let me with that answer there. And we just had Big Red. Right? And damn, Brett Favre, who was the turnover champion of the world there for a while.
At what point did they just give up on trying to get
Andy used to do to you back in the day? What did he say? It just kind of came there. Like, what did he say to you guys and Brett especially?
He just came up to us and said, hey, don't turn the ball over anymore. But, you know, those are things with guys like that. I mean, that's the beauty of guys like Brett, you know, and the Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. They might throw three interceptions, but they're going to throw four touchdowns in the same game. And they're going to come back and beat you in the fourth quarter. And those are all the things that, you know, I know Trevor can do. He's done that for us. And we're excited for him and the future and the growth and development of working with him.
What's big with you when you meet quarterbacks here, like this week, for the first time? You know, is it the talking ball? Is it just the presence? Is it how he handled it? Like, well, what's kind of
– I think it's a little bit of everything. Yeah. Obviously, how they walk in the room, how they handle themselves. But – are they genuine?
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of tell the canned answer, right? You know, when you talk to these guys, and then when you do talk ball, it's just how well does he understand scheme? How well does he understand defense? You know, what is he looking for here? What's his progression? Can he recall plays? You know, from you know,
previous
4 or 5 months ago,
right?
You know,
right,
2022, whatever it might be. You know, so those are all the things that I look at, and really, I want to put on the film. And I want to see him stare down a zero blitz and make a an 18-yard throw down the middle on a rope and get hit and bounce up and get right back in the huddle and do it again.
Yeah.
To me, that's a sign of a guy that you want on your team at quarterback.
Right.
You know, on the issue of the canned responses that you always get from the players, has there ever been an effort to get the agents to just stop it? Like, let the real guys come in. It makes it easier for us. It's better for everyone. We're going to find out eventually who the guy is. There's no point creating a false impression now that we buy and then we find out later this isn't what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I think that's something that, you know, it's going to be ongoing discussions with all of that. But you're right. I think with the agents and some of these – you know, organizations and whatnot, they're obviously it's their job to prepare the player, right? To make sure that he's I don't want to hear the answer that they think I want to hear.
Yeah, right.
I just want to be honest with me. Yeah. Be open. Because, again, like to your point, we're going to find out.
Yeah,
we're ultimately going to find out through all of our study and research and talking to people, and especially once you get them into your building and all that. But just be genuine. Just be open and honest. Be transparent with us, because bottom line is, you know, we're going to find out eventually, and you know, can you play?
Yeah, that's right. That's
well, we appreciate your time. Super Bowl 52 champion, trying to be calm, along with a few others out there, the first coach to win Super Bowls with two different teams. All the best moving forward. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
For some of your time. We'll be back with more PFT Live from the Scouting Combine right after this. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Saka!
And the hope hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Here we are at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, the various podiums where the coaches and the GMs are talking, and some of them, when they're done or before they go, stopping by to visit with us now.
Believe
the Browns general manager, Andrew Berry. Playoffs, great season, exciting to watch. Look, only one team's ultimately That's happy, right. But you can still be happy about what was a very good season for the Browns. Congratulations.
No, thank you, Mike. And I'm incredibly proud of our players, our coaches, and staff. Really pleased with what we did in 2023. But now we turn the page, and the focus is on improving so we can go a little bit further in 2024.
You guys realize, how crazy the year was? Does the whole organization realize, what you guys went through, how you kind of finished, how you played, everything?
I'll be honest, it was a little bit of a blur, Chris.
Yeah, right.
But, we always talk about that. We talk about being resilient and the fact that adversity is always going to hit regardless of what team you are in the NFL, whether you're 11-6 or 6-11, and be really, really being ready for those crisis moments. And I'm just really proud of our group for being able to adapt and persevere through it and ultimately accomplish something that we're all very proud of today.
Yeah, right.
Five different quarterbacks starting, and November 20, the decision was made to put Joe Flacco on the practice squad. What was the moment that made you decide it's time to hit the Joe Flacco button?
Yeah, so I would say to put him on the active, it was largely once Dorian got his concussion after the Denver game.
Right.
But to bring Joe in, after Deshaun got hurt, we always actually felt very strongly as Joe as one of our top, what we would call emergency list options at quarterback. Once we got through that week, our major question was, hey, I'm kind of surprised this guy hasn't been anywhere. Is he actually in shape? Does he still want to play?
Right.
So we actually brought him in for a workout. He was in great shape. He could throw, he's like Nolan Ryan. He'll
be able to
throw the ball
until
he's 75 years old or something like that.
Right.
And we decided, all right, he's ready to go, but let's try and, acclimate him slowly. Well, that lasted 1 week, and it was you're going to be our starter against the LA Rams. So we were fortunate that he was available. He did a phenomenal job. Kevin did a phenomenal job with him, and obviously we're glad that we signed him.
It was never any back, room planned. So they kind of just all happened organically with Flacco.
Yeah, really. I like to say that it was more deliberate than that, but Joe Flacco was not on the bingo card going into the 2023
That's
season.
That's all right. You did a lot of other things that were deliberate that were damn good.
And it was that weird period of time, too, where he was your starting quarterback and he wasn't even on the roster.
Yeah.
He reverts back to the practice squad.
Yeah.
And you had to sweat it out because somebody could have come along and signed him off the practice squad.
Fortunately, Mike, we felt pretty good. Joe wanted to be with us. He had a good opportunity. He also knew that we were working through. Obviously we played five different starting quarterbacks, but we were pretty banged up throughout the whole year. He knew it was kind of a short-term appointment. It was hey, we kind of need to get through this week so that we have this for the kicking game.
Yeah, right.
And then we'll get you up to the active roster at the appropriate time.
Yeah, so he knew
it
was coming.
He knew it was coming,
right.
and we felt really good about it.
All right, so this is a weird one, right? Because the year was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know it didn't end the way you mm-hmm. wanted to against Houston. But also, there was people like us that were if the Browns keep winning with Joe Flacco, they're going to make things very interesting or a lot of drama in Cleveland. Is there a party that's a little bit hey, I know it stinks we lost, but now we can – it's Deshaun Watson's team, and he can be that guy.
Yeah, I think that from us, we always want to go as deep as possible into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think at times there can be a lot more external noise than there maybe is internal noise,
sure.
Within an organization. Mm-hmm. So for us, that really hasn't really played a factor into – our thinking, certainly going to the postseason.
Gotcha.
We wanted to win the game.
Yeah,
just
I hear that.
They just outplayed
right,
us.
Right.
But we're looking forward to Deshaun's return next
year.
Certainly.
How important is it that in year three with Deshaun Watson, this 5-year contract, that it all settles down? And I know that you can't control injuries, mm-hmm. but how important is it for him to come in and have a big year and live up to that contract?
Yeah, I think we don't even think about it in terms of necessarily living up to a contract. We just want him to be available. If he's available, we know that he can play at a high level. We were pleased with how he was playing before he injured his shoulder against Baltimore. Every team wants their starting quarterback available for 17 games, and we're no different. But we really are excited about the future with him.
The team you've accumulated, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got studs everywhere. Yes. That's a credit to you. I mean, it's phenomenal. It really is. Is there one guy that maybe has surprised you or surpassed? I mean, I don't want to sit here and list everybody off because you do. Your defense especially is a bunch of all-stars almost. But anybody that's exceeded your expectations or you were like, wow, he's been better than I even expected?
Yeah, probably the one who I had high expectations for but didn't necessarily assume that he would acclimate as quickly as DeJuan Jones this past year.
Yeah, I hear you there.
And DeJuan in particular, because he came into the league with maybe a little bit of a stigma.
So big, slow-footed. Yeah. Can he really do this?
Yeah. Right? And then he also had this, well, hey, look, he loves basketball. Does he really love – like all the kind of narrative.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really proud. You know, he had to be our starting right tackle the third quarter of his first game of his rookie year. And to see the progress that he made over the course of the season, we were all incredibly proud of him. So that would be the one for me.
Yeah, that was a pretty damn special one. That was a good one.
This is the time of year, in addition to the scouting combine, competition committee is meeting, going over potential rule changes. Teams can propose rule changes as well. Any team can propose anything they want. Sources close to me tell me that the Browns are considering something that should have happened automatically, needs to happen. Tell us what the Browns are going to suggest, if you haven't already suggested the league.
Yeah, so we did submit a proposal that would, you know, move the trade deadline back to after week 10 games, us and a few of the other clubs around the NFL. And, you know, we're big proponents in terms of maximizing the flexibility that teams have to build their rosters, especially as you get into the stretch run and the postseason. And to what you alluded to, Mike, there was really no adjustment with the trade deadline after the regular season expanded to 17 games. One of the reasons that we chose week 10 was to maybe proactively correct that, but also to be a little bit forward-facing in terms of if we do come to a situation where the regular season is expanded again, we can be proactive with the trade deadline's positioning.
So it's 1 week to catch up for week 18 and then another week in the event there's a week 19.
No, and that's correct. And the other thing I'd add is we also were sensitive to the fact that, you know, one of the concerns that people have with moving trade deadlines is just the competitive integrity of the season, and the idea that, hey, if you have the trade deadline too late, do you have a situation where teams are offloading players or dumping players, so to speak. And one of the things that we looked at is, you know, over the past 10 years, the earliest that a team has been eliminated
teams
from
are not
players,
out of it. Yeah, that's exactly
has been week 11.
Right.
That's only happened twice.
Okay.
And by week 10, you usually have 27 or more teams that are within two games of a wild card spot with seven or eight games to play.
Right.
So we felt like that was an appropriate marker given the current regular season schedule, potentially the future regular season schedule, and maintaining competitive balance.
We're big fans of that, without a doubt.
I'm a fan of no trade deadline at all. It's not like a fantasy football league where the dad and the son are in cahoots.
Right.
Like, you have a trade you want to make, and you're going to give them value, and they're going to accept it. Who cares if it's week 13 or 14 or 15?
Yeah. Mike, you and I are like-minded in that regard.
This is a good compromise.
Yeah.
I do like that. I really do.
We
were always a little bit annoyed with, like, wait, why are we – these teams don't even – you know, let's wait a little longer and let them figure out what the issues are to the football team. All right, I've asked this of a few AFC West teams, right? I want to know your thought on this. When you think about your team getting better next year, do you think about it in totality of the AFC, or do you think about, wait, I just got to win the AFC North because if we can do that, we're damn good enough, and that'll be enough?
That's a great question. Totality of the AFC for us.
Okay.
And largely because the division is super important, obviously, but that is only – 6 of your 17 games.
Yeah.
Like you have to play other teams.
Right.
And so I don't necessarily believe in building the team or building the roster that is like so tightly fitted to your division, because you are going to have to beat a wide variety of
getting
teams.
Getting the playoffs, you're going to see teams with other styles, right?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, I get that there. Yeah, I always wondered that because there is two schools of thought.
That's right.
Right, where you know you see some teams worry about the division and then other teams that don't, right? So, all right, so your team right now, we talked about super talent. Doesn't seem like you have many holes, right? But without, you know, telling us too much, where's kind of some spots you're looking to help out the roster?
Yeah, so it's no secret. We're pretty
no first round pick this year.
No first round pick, but
right.
We're pretty philosophically we're pretty consistent. It's no secret that we value the quarterback position really highly, probably like all the teams in the NFL. Look, I came from Philadelphia, so we like linemen.
Yeah.
Right? We like linemen.
you like big dudes.
And we like premium positions that affect the passing game. So regardless of where we are in a given offseason, we are going to continually invest in those areas because we think they have the highest impact in terms of winning games on the field. So that'll be probably a consistent refrain every time that you talk to me,
right,
because we do believe it so strongly in terms of winning a championship.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
You got one of the great running backs in the NFL in Nick Chubb. He had the devastating knee injury week two in Pittsburgh. He's under contract for another year. It's a big number. We know what the running back market is. We know what it can and can't support. Where do things stand with Nick Chubb health-wise, and do you expect him on the team this year?
Yeah, so starting health-wise, you know, Nick, he's been in the building every day. He's worked his tail off. I think everybody who knows Nick knows he has and will continue to do everything in his power to get back, and he's progressing as appropriately. It's still early in the injury, but we are optimistic in terms of his progress so far. We understand that. You know, Nick's roster status is a popular topic. You know, I understand it's the elephant in the room, but nobody wants to see his final carry against Pittsburgh be his last snap in Cleveland. And understanding that there is, you know, potentially work to do to get, you know, to get to that point, but nobody wants to see that to be his last snap as a Brown.
The salary cap at 255.4. Mm-hmm. What did you expect it to be?
So I would say that was in the range of I'd say project a singular number. We actually do a range of scenarios, call it like an aggressive scenario, a mid-case scenario, and a conservative scenario. And we do our planning based off of that. So that was in the range of possibilities for us, but certainly it was a pleasant surprise that the cap came in that high.
It is amazing that they kept
it's
that
insane.
Under wraps
yeah.
for
insane.
So long. Because there's a team thinking low 240s.
Yeah, right. No, it's I can guarantee you there's I can guarantee you there's no team that was disappointed with
yeah.
that news.
Yeah, definitely. All right, last one. I know you guys, you know, are analytics, right? I know most of the league is. It feels like you guys maybe are more than others.
I think that's probably fair.
Okay, all right, good. I'm not trying to,
no,
you know,
you're fine, Chris.
Say anything. But, I mean, the Super Bowl and that conversation, the overtime thing, right? I mean, we've kind of been asking everybody, because we don't think there's necessarily a right answer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But, like, are those things you had already delved into and you had a pre-planned package plan?
Yeah, they are. They're something that we talked about pretty regularly.
Right.
And then we talked about extensively before the postseason.
Right.
Because the rules are different, right?
Yeah.
They're different than the regular
yeah.
season. And we want to make sure that the people that are making those decisions, particularly your coaching staff, are aware of the pros and cons and ultimately what our game management folks would suggest.
Yeah, got you. So you go in with a solidified
yes.
plan of how you'll
yes.
attack it. That's cool.
So what was it?
I would tell you, but I have to kill you, Mike. So.
You would probably like to kill me for other reasons. And you would make a lot of other people happy.
Join the list.
Including Chris.
One.
Thank you. This is great. No. We appreciate some of your time. Hope to do it again.
Thank you guys for having me.
Andrew Berry, Cleveland Browns general manager. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet?
Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.